Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
TalkSTL.com, Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the war room of the O'Keefe Think Tank, this is Real Spoilers, episode 174.
Nailed it.
Bad comic book movies that aren't Batman versus Superman. That's already the top of
Thank
the list.
Thank you for...
But inspired by Batman versus Superman.
It led us down this road.
Correct.
Has it been done worse?
Yes.
And so we shall delve
Sometimes
in.
Sometimes it has.
We shall delve in. But has it been done worse with that kind of budget?
No.
Probably
not. Even close.
So.
Probably not.
Not even close.
Adjusting for inflation. I don't want to steal anybody's movie.
I was
but
told
maybe.
There would be no math.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's... I think it's impossible.
Ratios carry the one budget to box office.
There might be one. There might be one that could be pretty close.
I think we're probably thinking of the same one.
We might be.
Yeah. But maybe. I don't want to say it.
Yeah, I don't want to
step on anybody's
yeah, right. I have plenty
toes.
In case there are,
duplicates.
Yes.
So, before we delve in too far, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
My name's Justin Staggs.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom.
I like how I'm the only one that said my last name. Thanks for making me feel awkward.
We've been doing this for 174 episodes
for every week. So, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, and review us. I know we beg for it every week, but it really does help. It sends a message to iTunes, and it also sends a message to people that should stumble across the podcast that, hey, people actually like this thing. I should give it a whirl.
Yes.
And so that has happened. And so we appreciate it if you have done it. If you haven't, we would appreciate it if you took a little time out of your day.
That's all you got to do.
And leave just us a little write us a little note, click 5 stars. It helps us tremendously.
You can do it from your phone.
Doesn't even cost you any money.
No,
we're not asking you for money. It's a little bit of your time.
Just, you had to listen to a stamps.com.
But yeah. If you go to stamps.com/real.
So if you're going to do that, that's awesome. And I love you for it. It's real with two E's. Like, they don't say that. So like, it's real. If you're going to do it.
It's not like we get any of the money.
That's a good point. You know what? Just put it whenever you want.
I don't know.
Well, we got to get something from it.
Maybe.
Here's a dollar.
When they sign up, I'm sure we do.
Yeah, maybe. Real with two E's, not R-E-A-L.
We just have sponsors that don't give us any money. Well, I think we need to revisit the definition of sponsor.
They pay us entirely in postage. And the sad part is, it's not even U.S. postage.
It's not. It's like Canada.
It's like Virgin Islands.
Isn't that part of the U.S. though?
Is it?
That's the U.S.
British Virgin
Islands. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, take that, smart ass. Suck it.
Right again.
But if you ever go on vacation, you will have your stamps at the ready.
That's true, yeah. It's ready to go. Just in case.
Is that the new advertisement?
Yeah.
Just in case you go on vacation.
And be like Kevin. Kevin has his stamps at the ready, Kevin. Well, thank you, Tom.
So anyway, and you can join our League of Show Shares if you go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/real spoilers with two E's, as Joe pointed out.
Yes.
You can join our League of Show Shares. Just pick an episode. If you want to hear your name on the show, it would behoove you to pick the most recent episode.
That's true.
I'm not combing through the archives, cross referencing to see if there's any late
last
entries
time,
in the
last
shares.
Last time Kevin combed the archives, Tom apparently loves Zack Snyder. That's what happened last time.
It's in the archives.
What happens when he's left to his own devices. So, So yeah, you can just click share, and then if I remember, I'll read your name. I will probably mispronounce it, but it's a badge of honor to have your name mispronounced.
I think so. Yeah, or you get some weird wacky job that you didn't know you had.
Totally.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of whack jobs in our audience.
Yes, we do.
And in our show.
And we love you all.
So so anyway, there you go for your shameless plugs. We will now turn our eyes to the topic of the week, which is bad comic movies.
Bad.
Who would like to begin?
Well, I think Joe's running. This is Joe's baby.
You know,
so
it's tough. Right. They have been making comic book movies since the 1950s.
Probably in the 40s, right? Wasn't that Batman serial?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So there is a plethora to choose from. There was
a veritable potpourri, if you will.
Cornucopia.
And you will.
So it's tough. So for me, the biggest offender was probably 1997's Batman and Robin.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, there's another one, though, that I think could be pretty close. So the Batman franchise has had a lot of success up until Batman and Robin. Even Batman Forever, for as hokey as it is, was still pretty well received, if I remember right. You had Val Kilmer and the introduction of Robin. If you ever, we know we've talked about it before, but there's a documentary called The Death and Life of Superman Lives and What Happened, and they talk about how Tim Burton was going to do Batman Forever, and it was it was almost as crazy as Batman and Robin, where they had, I think they were bringing Michael Keaton back, and then they had Marlon Wayans as Dick Grayson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember he was supposed to be Robin.
I talked to him about that.
Did
when he
really?
Came to town. Yeah. I talked to Marlon Wayans about, so you're going to be Robin, right? And he was pretty pumped about it. But then, yeah, that thing ended, and that was great.
Were the bat nipples still in the script?
No. There are no bat nipples to be seen in the Tim Burton verse. He'd blown up guys' wieners with bombs, but whatever. But yeah, he got paid. He got paid almost entirely for that movie, and
nice.
It never got made. So he went on to do Superman Lives, which had Chris Rock as Jimmy Olsen. But this one, George Clooney, Uma Thurman, some horrible pro wrestler as Bane. who was the other bad guy? Oh,
Freeze.
Yeah,
Freeze.
Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze. Chris O'Donnell as Robin.
Ice to see you.
And it's like... It is visually offensive as much as
it's offensive on every...
It really
how
is.
Many senses are there? Sight,
five.
Sound, feel, touch, taste, whatever.
Five,
all
and
five.
Then, and then the sixth one, if you're like...
Your psychic, you knew in advance it was going
to
be bad.
I think Arnold's puns are the best part of the movie.
It's so great. Tim Burton had to do some work to get away, because the only Batman we had seen up until that point was the 66 Batman.
Right.
We hadn't even seen the cartoon Batman yet. I think that came out... In between Batman and Batman Returns, maybe, or right after
Returns.
Again. The animated Batman show.
91.
So
Batman was 89.
Batman was 89. And then, right in the middle. Yeah. So we had to do a lot of work to get away from the Bill Dozier Batman stuff, where Joel Schumacher was like, no, man, this is great. And we're going to do it with a big budget.
Yeah.
And it's going to be insane. So even in the movie, you have
the insane part, right?
Yeah.
If you listen to the director's commentary...
With Joel Schumacher.
In my head, the director's commentary would just be a lot of heavy sighs.
No, literally, literally.
Have you seen the sad Affleck?
Yeah, just being
No, Tom, you don't know how close you are. The director's commentary, there is a long pause of silence, and Joel Schumacher stops talking, and he just goes, I'm sorry. He just apologizes. He does. Yeah, I swear to God. That is the director's commentary. At one point, he pauses, doesn't know what to say, and goes, I'm sorry.
I have to point out what Joe said, the sad Affleck
video.
If you've never seen that, you guys need to go online.
Apparently, it jacked up the Sound of Silence on iTunes.
Yeah, it's way up on the charts.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, it's hilarious. It's Henry Cavill, who is just, God love him, just giving it everything he's got, where he's just so he loves the movie, and Affleck is just
but they pan over and zoom in, so it's a static shot of the two of them side by side in chairs being interviewed, and then it pans from Henry on the right, pans over and zooms into Affleck on the left, and he never moves his head at all. You just see his eyes just looking sad into the distance,
and they start playing Sound of Silence.
Yeah,
and
it's incredible.
Awesome.
It really does
look like he's questioning his life decisions.
Yeah,
at that point
I've made an error. Well, that paycheck doesn't look that bad, but
and then they go back and they cut Sound of Silence, and at the very end of the interview he's like, yep, or something.
Yeah,
he's like,
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, he snapped out of it.
Yeah, it's great.
This is I don't even remember the plot as much as, I mean, it's a Batman 66
I remember there
plot.
were villains on roller skates.
So it
roller
opens
skates up, or roller
skate blades.
So wait,
blades.
No. There
I
were
think
skates.
That's
were there
distinction without
in,
a difference?
Yeah.
Weren't there roller blades in Batman Forever?
Was there two? Was Two Face?
I don't know.
In
I wasn't questioning their use
Two-Face
of roller.
Two Face was in Batman Forever.
Okay.
And Tommy Lee Jones was.
I
in
also remember that. George Clooney's Batman had his own Amex card.
He did.
He had a Batman credit card.
They clicked their heels and they had skates in their boots.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a skate in my boots.
Well, when you
that was the most obscure reference. I love it. Oh my god.
But yeah, so Mr. Freeze and Poison Ivy team up, and Poison Ivy, like Bane, who was probably one of Batman's top five villains, in my opinion.
And
like,
he was, like, really new at that point.
He was
so
still
you were
very
like,
new.
Oh, my God, Bane, this is going to be great. Oh, no, not so much.
Yeah,
I'd really
so
like
much
to be in, like, the evil guy meeting when they're like, what should we put, you know, just in case we need to fight Batman? Skates in our boots.
Skates in our boots. That's what we have to have. We can't, yeah, we, you know.
Well, you think about it. You're kind of banking on the fact that Batman's not going to know how to roller skate. You can't see that.
Ice skate. He's ice skating. Because he's fighting Freeze. It's that first fight with Freeze.
Ah.
Yes.
Yeah, so you're
they're playing hockey with the diamond or whatever it is.
Yeah,
that's
so Mr.
Right.
Freeze is at like a gala and there's diamonds on displays and he's trying to steal them. And then Batman and Robin come flying in from the, they crash in from the ceiling.
Everybody knows ice comes from diamonds, right?
Yeah, that's a thing.
So I guess this means Gotham is in Canada?
Sure. That's probably where they filmed it.
Makes as much sense as where Man of Steel put it.
But yeah, there's also that weird scene where they are on a bomb, like they're on a rocket, and they start snowboard, like skydiving on the doors.
They're like surfing. It almost looks like Adam West, Burt Ward surfing in like the old
'66
show. But
like
it's like, on a rocket.
I just think that Joel Schumacher... did he do anything else before Batman? Was he like a name that they were like,
oh,
they got Joel Schumacher to do Batman?
Yeah, he had done.
He only did things before this because he made this.
He did did he do Jarhead?
No. Joel Schumacher is known for the Phantom of the Opera, Batman Forever, Phone Booth, and Batman and Robin are his most notable.
Did he do like
movies.
A war movie?
Yeah,
like
that's what I was thinking.
Not Tigerland?
Not the Thin Red Line. No.
Is it Tigerland?
He did St. Elmo's Fire.
He did Falling Down.
The Lost Boys.
He did Flatliners.
A Time to
Falling
Kill.
Down with Michael Douglas. 8mm.
Tigerland. That's
Tigerland.
Yeah.
That's what I was confusing with Jarhead. I knew he had done a war movie that was very well received.
Man, he actually did some pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. Talk about going off the rails.
If you look at what came before in his resume, and you hear he's making a Batman movie
right.
in 1995, you're going to be okay with that.
Yeah, that's true.
Know?
For sure. But he went a completely different direction.
Yeah,
talk about bombastic.
He did DC Cab.
Yes, he did. Flatliners is a good flick. So this is pretty much a Bill Dozier Batman episode, just in 2 hours long. So much so that they even do the Dutch tilts for the camera. And if you don't know what that is, it's when like you look at the Batman TV show and they would tilt the camera like on its edge so everything looked kind of wonky. They did that so much in this movie. Like, I didn't realize it at the time, but I own this on Blu-ray because it came in a pack. And
I also have the 4-movie pack.
He had to let you guys know that he didn't buy it willingly.
Yeah, like I wanted Batman and Batman Returns.
I actually
Returns.
Paid extra for individual copies, so I didn't have to own it.
You know, they just re-released them all too, and like now there's like new cover art, and you can buy them individually.
Sure, why not?
Is Batman and Robin the one with the motorcycle chase? Like,
no, that's Batman Forever.
Okay.
And actually, it's so weird because, like, Dick Grayson is one of my favorite characters of all time. So when he shows up,
Dick. We all know how much you love Dick.
We know.
Yeah.
You know
what? Nightwing is one of my favorite characters of all time.
Yeah, you love Dick.
I didn't say that.
It's inferred.
But, like, they put him in Batman Forever, and I was like, oh, this is going to be so good. And he was just a whiny.
So they put Dick in Batman?
They put Dick in Batman.
Fair enough.
I mean,
is that
joke
on that website with the green slime thing?
Yeah.
Is it a different tab or?
And this
more
movie,
like Robin the Cradle.
Hey, they wanted him to be like 18 in this movie, but Chris O'Donnell was like 30.
I think he was probably 24. Seriously,
no, what? No,
I'm gonna look up his age. Just
I
keep
think
going.
He,
I'm gonna
either
look
way.
Up.
He was in his 30s. Mid to late 20s.
Chris O'Donnell. My grandmother was in a nursing home for a long time, but like independent living.
Okay,
and
Chris O'Donnell showed up
and he did. And
oh, seriously?
Yeah. And she was like, she was trying to tell me for a long time that she's like, one of the guys from the Batman movie, his grandmother's here, and he comes in and visits her sometimes.
Is he from here?
I don't know. And I was just like, Grandma, shut your pie hole. You're a crazy old lady.
Oh, my gosh.
And sure enough, I was trying to figure out, like, who she was talking about. It took me forever. And then it finally, like, she asked him, like, and it was Chris O'Donnell.
Huh.
And I was like, oh, yeah, from Batman and Robin. No, I'm good. I don't need anything.
How about the guy from Son of a Woman?
It's so weird. I think he is a good actor.
Yeah, he's...
Yeah.
The problem wasn't
him. It was not him, but he was... Yeah, unfortunately, he's...
They spell the problem Schumacher, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Chris O'Donnell was 26 when this came out, so...
I stand by my statement.
He said he was 34.
I said he was 30.
Looks good for his age.
Yeah.
So
he was 90
this movie effectively killed Batman...
It did.
And Superman in theaters. You wouldn't get another...
10 years.
You wouldn't get anything else until...
Well, almost 10 years.
Well, you get Superman in 06.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Batman.
Oh, yeah. Like, so when was Batman Begins? 05?
2005.
Okay. And the only thing we really had, luckily, was the Batman TV show, and that kind of became my Batman. Like, that's the Batman that
I... But that was long over before this. But they went into Justice League.
Yeah, right. You had the Kevin Conroy Batman.
That Batman the Animated Series is one of my favorite versions of
Batman. Why is that
Batman.
Not on Blu-ray?
I don't know, but I own the DVD box set, the collector's one and everything.
Season, yeah.
I mean, that is one of the best shows. I mean, it's Emmy Award winning, the
Heart
writing,
of Ice. Heart
the,
of Ice is
the
one
animation,
of the greatest episodes ever.
But that was Batman. Like
Heart of Ice, which is a better Mr. Freeze movie than Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's...
Cheech and Chong Nice Dreams was a better Mr. Yes. Freeze movie.
Surf Ninjas was a better
Surf Ninjas was...
The only thing that I liked about the 97 Batman was that Robin
was the...
It's like Nightwing.
Robin, yeah.
But it's like the Nightwing costume. And I love how they I mean, I don't like the accentuated craziness of it, but the design, like, as far as the layout...
Yeah, actually, I mean, the costume he wore in Batman Forever... at the end was also very similar to the Nightwing costume.
Yeah. So, I mean, they got that costume style right, but...
We're forgetting about Alicia Silverstone was in this movie.
As Alfred's niece.
Not Batgirl.
But, like, not Barbara Gordon.
Alfred's niece
is Batgirl in this
movie.
Alfred
just so happened to have a suit just ready for her.
Yeah.
That she was too fat.
He's always prepared.
That she put on way too much weight and they couldn't get her in the suit.
Yeah.
I still would, though.
Absolutely.
That's right. I forgot about that whole thing. I totally forgot about that.
I guess, yeah, she had to... Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah.
Wait, what happened?
She put on... So I guess they did a fitting for her costume, and these costumes don't really give. So they get...
Like wedding dresses.
They are. So she gets to come in, you know, filming starts, and she has put on some weight, and they can't get her into the costume because she's put on enough weight where the costume no longer fits.
I mean, these things are toys.
They are definitely toys.
They are not. Not a lot of these.
You know what? Clooney's bat suit, bat nipples aside, is good. Like, that's a cool looking suit. Yeah. It's not.
I liked Clooney. I think that
should have worked.
I did not like Clooney in this movie.
To me, the secret to Batman is you got to cast Bruce Wayne.
And besides Affleck, who's a better Bruce Wayne?
George Clooney is like
Val Kilmer.
Look at George Clooney's life.
I understand you.
If somebody shows up as Batman, I'm going to George Clooney's house because that dude is Bruce Wayne.
I just thought Val Kilmer was a better Bruce Wayne.
I think Val Kilmer was a better Batman. I liked Kilmer.
Yeah, I wish
Batman.
Val Kilmer had done more. I liked Val Kilmer at all.
Clooney literally pays somebody to like operate a satellite that like goes over Africa to make sure like, you know, homicide and genocide isn't being committed. Right. That's Batman right there.
Yeah.
True.
I remember seeing this movie in the theater and I was working at a comic book store at the time. It might have been, or I just had stopped. And
it's safe to say you were reading comic books at this time.
Absolutely. Yes. I should have been reading them during the film. And
there's probably better stuff coming out then.
I remember I went and saw it with a buddy of mine who I had met while working at the comic book store, and we had become friends. I hadn't been to the comic book store because I hadn't seen him in a while. And we were like, dude, we got to go see Batman and Robin together. And so he's like, okay. So we met up and like. So we sit through the whole movie and the whole time I'm thinking like I would walk out of this movie right now if I wasn't sitting here with my friend Bill.
Uh-huh.
And when it gets over, I was like, whew. And he's like, that was awful. And he's like, it was horrendous. And Bill says to me, I swear to God, if I wasn't here with you, I would have walked out of this movie. And I was
you
like,
both had the same
I was
thought.
Like, man, that's I wish awesome. You'd have told me that an hour ago.
Because so you don't want to be the guy that yeah. like, you're with the comic book guy. And
yeah.
I don't think I could walk out of a Batman movie, honestly.
I could.
Just because I'm such a Batman fan, like I would have to see how it ends to know how bad it was or whatever. Like, I don't think I can walk out of a Big Fat Greek Wedding 2 or whatever, you know, but like a Batman movie, I couldn't do it.
It depends on, I mean, it depends on how offensive it is, you know, like if it's super offensive, I could absolutely walk out of a Batman movie. But this one, it was just like, I think, so it was what year did that come out? 95?
97.
The so
Batman
I was,
Robin.
I was.
We were kids at the time. I
13?
Mean, yeah.
And I.
No one's going to walk out of that
I
at
was
13.
27.
Yeah. What year did Men in Black come out?
Ooh.
Was it the same time?
I feel like, I'm going to say 97 or 98.
98 maybe. I
feel like I did this as a double feature. And like we ended with Men in Black, so I don't remember hating Batman and Robin as much because Men in Black was so
97.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did a double feature with Men in Black and Batman and Robin. And we saw Men in Black last. So like the lasting impression is like, yeah, I saw it, but man, Men in Black was great. I don't remember anything else about Batman and Robin.
There's a deleted scene in Batman Robin. Alfred goes and talks to Bruce like out in the courtyard or something.
Yeah.
And they mention Metropolis.
Yes.
It's so, like there's
there's also a scene in Batman Forever where Dick Grayson is showing up to the mansion.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you going to do? The circus has to be halfway to Metropolis by now.
That's right. They mentioned it there.
And
too,
you're
yeah.
just like, Metropolis?
Yeah, like, right. Whoa, whoa. So it's like, yeah, so I remember.
Little did we know he was going to be Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were this close to being like, the circus has to be halfway to fan service by now.
They couldn't say anything else because nobody knew what Coast City or Star City was
yeah.
at that point.
Yeah. I don't think anybody still does.
Nope. Still, well, they might because they're on TV
do,
shows.
But, okay, that's,
yeah.
That's
I would give you like, what is it? Who's on the, what's the city the Flash is in? Central City?
It's Central City.
Central City and, yeah. and Star City. Mm. Yeah. You won't know Coast City, but.
Well, whatever. There's Star Labs, but it's not, I don't
it's
think.
It's Star City. I think they changed it on Arrow.
On Arrow.
It used to be
yeah,
Star
I'm sorry, on Arrow it is. Yeah yeah, 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 yeah. You're right.
So, yeah, this is probably the worst. It's probably the worst Batman movie ever. And I don't count Batman versus Superman only because the Batman stuff was good.
Oh, this is worse than Batman versus Superman.
Easily.
Yeah, because it's so campy.
I mean, yeah.
I would rather watch.
But,
it's tough, though. Like, I think I'd rather watch this than Batman versus Superman again.
But, like, grading on a curve, like, I still have more hatred for Batman versus Superman because I felt like. I feel like. I get back then how they didn't get
comic book movies.
Comic book movies.
Yeah,
where now,
that's true.
There's no excuse.
There is no excuse. That's a good point.
No excuse at all.
So there you go. I have some honorable mentions if we have time. So that's my worst offender.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who would like to go next?
Well, I think this is one that Joe has mentioned before and I've mentioned and I think it's kind of a given, but I have to say Superman 4.
That was because an honorable mention.
What the hell was going on in that movie? I did not go back and rewatch this over the weekend.
The one I own in a box.
I cannot.
You guys are going to have to refresh my memory because I think I've actually expunged that from my mind.
So that is...
The
Quest for Peace. Canon Films somehow acquired the rights from Warner Brothers. I don't know how that happened. I think the Sulkinds, who were involved with Superman's 1, 2, and 3.
It's 87. Nobody cares.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
So Canon Films, if you know anything about them, they were just like these two dudes who would make some of the worst movies ever created, but they would pepper in some like decently reviewed ones. So like they had some Chuck Norris stuff that did really well. They had some Charles Bronson stuff that did really well. They had The Apple, which didn't do very well at all. And somehow they got the rights to Masters of the Universe, and which is also now owned by Warner Brothers, I think.
Yeah.
And Superman.
Ah, that missed crossover opportunity there.
DC Comics Presents number 25. Like, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe not 25. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
So, and then there's that Canon Films documentary.
And they mentioned this.
Yeah.
And, like, they wanted to do Superman, but they weren't, like, Christopher Reeve was like, no. They're like, you can write it. And he was like, okay.
And he was like, can I ride a horse?
And he's like, no.
Oh God!
They knew. God. They had that sixth sense.
I want a scene where Superman rides a horse. That'd be awesome.
We can't do it because of insurance purposes. I'll do it after the movie.
And yeah,
it was almost. It was Superman 4 The Man of Still.
Oh,
that joke never so gets old to me.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Never gets
too
old
soon.
To me.
Too soon.
Too soon. Yeah.
Hey, go tell a Paul Walker joke.
So, like, it, he is Superman has decided to take it upon himself to rid the world of nuclear weapons. In the process,
and was this timely? I mean, was nuclear? Was this at the height of
87?
Like nuclear?
Yeah, that was like.
I don't know.
Yeah, this is a hot topic, so they decided to...
Well, hot topics didn't exist yet. We were all still very cheery.
Yeah.
Even teenagers.
Yeah.
Everybody was happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, the Berlin Wall didn't fall in, like, 91, so until the Berlin Wall fell, it was all about nuclear bombs were going to kill us.
So, yeah, so this would be why...
Nowadays, it's just terrorists and high cholesterol.
Yeah. So that's
not
why...
in that order.
No.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you feel like it's in that order, but it's not in that order.
So it was a timely topic, so they chose to write it about, Superman has to defend Earth from nuclear
war. Yeah, he wants to get rid of nuclear war. They somehow got Gene Hackman to come back for this as Lex Luthor. They got the guy from Two and a Half Men to be his annoying
John Cryer. In this as a hot topic. Like, I mean, he is dressed up in leather and like a mohawk and earrings or whatever. Like, he is the
stereotypical like director who doesn't know what an 80s kid looks like. Kid.
Well, and you know, the canon was supposed to make a Spider-Man movie
with with Tobey Hooper,
and this killed it.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So
it was a Tobey Hooper movie.
There's an upside
there.
Yes.
So Lex Luthor has this plot where he's going to cut a piece of, he's going to take a piece of Superman's hair and he's going to shoot it into the sun and create this evil Superman. Or,
now, is this the one that holds up the weight, right?
Yes.
With John Cryer. Okay.
Yes.
So
it's
Lex Luthor has a 1-ton weight hanging from a strand of Superman's
hair.
One
strand of Superman's hair.
But he can cut it with bolt cutters.
Correct.
So
right in half.
So a piece of hair strong enough to hold up a 1-ton weight can be cut by garden shears.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Believe me, this movie gets even crazier as we go on.
Okay, I just want to throw that out there and make sure I had the logic
right. Yeah,
here.
He throws the bombs into the sun. In the because he does that, he creates who I think was supposed to be Bizarro.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. So when was Bizarro introduced into comics? Because was this before?
Long time ago.
So this was after Bizarro.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
because
why didn't they call him Bizarro then?
Because he didn't look like Superman. Like, the Bizarro that we see in the comics is
Bizarro looks like a whacked-out Superman,
well,
like a zombie-looking...
He's like a zombie-looking thing. This guy was like a supermodel.
Oh, he was just a clone. You're right. He was like a really angry, like,
He wasn't a clone because he had blonde hair and a mullet. Christopher Reeve had, like, black hair.
Well...
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So his power...
Oh, so that's different. So Superman 3 is the one that has the Superman clone? There's one version where Superman gets really angry.
That's Superman 3.
Yeah, Superman 3.
Superman 3... Richard Pryor somehow is able to synthesize kryptonite, but it's not the right kind of kryptonite, and it makes Superman bad.
Yeah, that's
which actually
doesn't he like walk around punching people?
Oh, it was the
he straight up rapes a woman in that movie.
It was the Spin Doctors version of kryptonite.
It's pocket full of it.
Yeah,
you know, it was bad. You can't lump it all together like that.
And then there was the Matchbox 20 version.
Yeah. Oh, Superman's dead,
where he gets his powers, from the yellow sun.
Is that what was the Our Lady Peace song?
Superman's dead.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Wait, which one's the "You Can't Be My Kryptonite"? Which is that one?
That's Three Doors Down.
Okay.
No, that's Our Lady. The melody you're singing is Our Lady Peace.
No. If I go crazy, then will you still
be my Superman?
Yeah.
That's Three Doors Down.
That's Three Doors Down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Ooh.
You're
they
my
all start sounding
kryptonite.
The same. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's right. That is Three Doors Down. Yeah.
I was a 90s radio
DJ.
That's true.
You should know.
You don't argue with Tom on that.
A good point. I didn't think about that.
But anyway, so the nuclear man, so he shoots the thing into the sun. And
somehow he scratches Superman and he takes away his powers. He makes him sick. And then he gets his powers back. And then he throws Nuclear Man. Actually, I think he puts Nuclear Man into an elevator shaft or into an elevator car and buries the car on the moon. I think. That sounds right.
Sounds plausible.
Yeah. But this one killed Superman.
Yeah.
Like, even before they killed him in the comics.
Lois is disgusted. The Daily Planet publishes the headline, Superman Dead?
But also, does this have Mariel Hemingway? Is that right?
I'm not. Yes, yes,
the
you're
Daily,
correct.
The
yep.
Daily Planet is bought by somebody else, and Mariel Hemingway is
it's
pretty
a tabloid.
Much,
they turn it into a tabloid.
Right, and she is, like, throwing herself at Clark, and of course, the way he's still playing, like, the bumbling... Kind of, oh, gee, shucks, Lois.
Yeah.
So he's got Mariel Hemingway. Like, there are scenes where I'm pretty sure you could see her birth canal. because she's just throwing, like, she's up on a desk and she's almost
wearing.
Well,
now you got my attention.
She's like, the skirt is almost covering almost nothing. And Clark's just like, gee, shucks. No, thanks. I'm going to go over here and...
Well, because you got to remember, though, back then, Justice League had a don't ask, don't tell policy.
Right, yeah. Couldn't talk about it.
Yeah.
No, don't even talk about it. But yeah, this is another... This one I could actually... I would watch this over Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
I would, absolutely.
This
yeah.
movie's just so far whacked out. I just remember watching it, and I haven't watched it many times, but I remember just being like, what is happening? How did this movie get made? Like, Superman 1 and 2, like, for what they are and for the time, are so good, you know? And
still,
like,
Superman 1's still a great movie.
I mean, but they're very dated. But, like, sure, I'm saying at the yeah. time, like, they're revolutionary. They're one of the first, like, good superhero movies, and I'm just saying they're good movies, and either version that you watch, you know, of 2 or whatever, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, they're good movies, and then you get to 3, and you're like, eh.
It's a Richard Pryor movie with Superman in it.
Yeah, and by time 4 rolls around, I'm just like, what? it just was mind-boggling this movie got
made.
Yes,
well, because I was 17 when this movie came out. Okay. So, like, I remember when this movie came out.
Did you see it in theater?
No.
Really?
Absolutely not.
You, a comic book guy, I'm just saying, like, you just were like, no.
No, like, no, there was no hype around this movie.
Oh, really?
Like, no, I remember just everybody looking at each other like, what are they doing?
Okay.
Like, 3 was so bad.
It was pretty terrible, bad. Yeah.
And
this movie was like, wackadoo.
And then when you see this and he's fighting Nuclear Man and you're just like, well, he has a rogues gallery you could be picking from.
I think that there was,
and you invent this thing.
Well, like, I think that there was a script for either 3 or 4 that was going to do Brainiac and Bizarro, I think. And you kind of get them, like in Superman 3, you kind of get Brainiac when who was the bad guy in 3? He was the man from Uncle.
Oh, geez, I don't know.
Tom? Robert Mitchum?
No, on the TV show. He was the original Man from U.N.C.L.E.
I'm trying to remember who played I didn't watch Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Okay, starring Robert Vaughn?
Yeah. Robert Vaughn.
Robert
that's
Vaughn.
It. Robert got Vaughn. The Robert part,
yeah,
right?
Like his sister gets thrown into a supercomputer, gets turned into the supercomputer. So you kind of get Brainiac in that episode, in that movie, and then you kind of get Bizarro in this one. Yeah, it was just...
It's a mess. Yes. It's an epic mess.
That's 3 interesting. I'm glad that you were alive for that, because I was always curious as to, like...
Yeah, I'm surprised back then that, like, okay, first of all, back then, and I don't mean to keep saying, like, it's super, super long ago, but I'm just saying that was at a time where you didn't have... That was
30
before,
years ago.
But that, yeah. That was before home video even, right? Would that
no,
be...
87 was totally, 87, totally
that's
not.
That's the peak of home video.
What year was 4?
I got a VHS in, man, 83? 82?
Okay, but so that wasn't that.
But before. I was a rich kid.
Yeah, right, okay.
I'm like a flaunted.
Right.
I had the two-piece, right?
Oh.
I had the two-piece VCR.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Top loader? Top loader's the
top
way to
loader
go.
Top loader is where the way to go.
Top loaders, it's just, you know.
Joe knows all about this and his experience.
Yeah, I had a top loader for a long time.
And the best part about the two-piece, right, is you could unhook the one piece, and you could take it to a friend's house and hook it up, and it would work as a VCP, which is a video cassette player.
Wait a minute. So you had essentially 2 VCRs in one? You could take
so,
one and
so
just
you
take
had,
it. So
you had, it was 2 pieces, and it was side by side. And so basically pretty much all the smarts and the programming aspects and the clock.
And recording.
Were in the one piece.
Yeah.
And then the part that you actually put the tape in.
Yeah.
It connected with just one cord, and you could pull that cord out and take another cord with you to a friend's house. It even had a strap so you could sling it over your shoulder.
That's crazy.
And you could take it to a friend's house and plug it into their TV, and you could, and then it would work as a video cassette player. Huh. You couldn't record, but you could play.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what did
you
know that you can now just plug your phone into your TV?
Right.
Like, isn't that just the technology?
In 1984, I was badass.
Yeah. I bet you were. That's pretty cool.
That was an and I had a camera, like in the you know, like an over the shoulder camera.
Oh yeah.
The little side pop down, and you had a little keyboard. You could type things on the screen. Like, it was pretty... Yeah.
Man, you were all about it.
Yeah.
Cool,
but my point
kid.
Is, okay, so you had home video, but there was a lot less media you could consume. So I mean, people went to the theater because if you wanted to see something like a movie, it's not like you could pull up Netflix. So I'm just... I was curious that you were a comic fan, and it was back in 87, and that even a comic book fan... Regardless of what you hear about the movie, like, you didn't see Superman and just go, oh my god, it's a Superman movie. And
no, I mean, look, you could see it was a big steaming pile. Like, you weren't going to go to that.
It looked like
there wasn't
version.
Like the internet to read reviews. I just thought things would have been a lot more.
I didn't need reviews. Yeah. Like, you look at the trailer for that. Like, there's nothing. You don't need a review you look at that and you're like, this is atrocious.
It looks like it's a canon version of a Superman movie.
Yeah,
like,
it was just awful.
I feel like they would also do like Hercules movies with Lou Ferrigno where they didn't dub his voice.
Yeah, there is one where they didn't use his voice.
I'm pretty sure it's a canon film.
But so this movie, the last paragraph of this summary on Wikipedia, Nuclear Man forces his way into the Daily Planet and abducts Lacey. Superman frees himself from the moon's surface and pushes it out of its
Superman's
orbit,
on the moon,
casting Earth into an eclipse, which nullifies Nuclear Man's powers. Superman rescues Lacey, then recovers Nuclear Man and deposits him in the core of a nuclear power plant, destroying him. So why does a nuclear power plant destroy nuclear man?
Here's the other thing, right? That should be like trying to drown Aquaman.
Yeah.
So he moves the moon, right? Don't talk about the waves or anything else that would probably affect.
This franchise already spun the Earth backwards to reverse time.
If I had a week, I couldn't list all the reasons why that's not possible.
What had been Nuclear Man becomes electrical power for the entire electrical grid. Perry White secures a loan to buy a controlling interest in the newspaper, making David Warfield a minority shareholder.
Oh, yeah, David Warfield. Here's the irony. This whole movie is against, like, because it's made by 80s Hollywood liberals, right?
Right.
And so their solution at the end of the film is nuclear power.
Right.
Wrap your head around that.
And then Superman declares only partial victory in his campaign, saying there will be peace when the people of the world want it so badly that their governments will have no choice but to give it to them.
So this was a time where...
Wait, so if the governments have no choice but to give us peace, if they have no choice, it's because we're so mad we're about to start a war.
Right.
Figure that one out.
And he stole that from Dwight Eisenhower. That's a Dwight Eisenhower quote.
Oh, really?
Pretty close to one, anyway.
Wow. So, that was Superman 4. Figure out what was happening there.
Yeah, we don't know. I mean,
see, that's an old-timey reference.
Yeah, you know, Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Yeah. Right. I don't remember that one.
You weren't around for that one?
Yeah, I was not around for that one.
Didn't you record that on VHS?
On my VCP.
That also killed Superman. Literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
Superman 4 is the first appearance of Doomsday.
in the form of...
Indirectly.
Yeah, in the form of Nuclear Man.
Yeah. So I guess I'll go next, and we'll save our guests for last.
All right.
And mine is a non-superhero entry.
Okay.
Excellent.
So I cheated a little bit in that mine was made for TV movie.
Okay.
Mine is called Archie, Riverdale, and Back Again.
All right.
So
is this live action?
This is live action.
What?
Archie.
Don't worry.
Made for TV movie.
There's going to be a live action Archie on CW.
Yeah.
It's coming.
I just had no idea there was an old live action TV movie of Archie.
Yeah, this is from 1990. And
that's recent.
Yeah, it's relatively recent. And it was designed to be a weekly show. So this was supposed to be
a pilot.
Yeah. And then they would split it off into a show.
Yeah. Okay.
And so so they're all grown up. And they're like in their 30s, and Archie's a lawyer, and Reggie, who's played by Gary Kroger, who, if you're a huge SNL fan, and you'd have to be a huge one. Gary Kroger was on SNL in the 80s. He was on there when Julie Louis-Dreyfus was on there. They paired them up a lot. And Gary Kroger. Now I'm second guessing myself. Gary Kroger was on SNL, right?
Cast member on Saturday Night Live from 82 to 85.
And he's like a senator now or something.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So he plays Reggie, and I'm trying to remember. It's been a long time. So he ends up, he's going to buy the restaurant that they go to.
The hamburger place?
The hamburger joint.
Yeah.
And turn it into something. And then
Kevin just brought up a picture, and it is
fantastic.
Yeah.
Continue. Yes.
So, and Jughead is now a psychiatrist.
Okay.
And I think the thing I remember the most, can you play audio?
Is he married to Betty or Veronica?
Well, no, he's neither, because they still...
What do you want me to pull up? Are you going to send me something?
I emailed you something.
Okay, yeah. Give me just one second. Yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be a CW show.
Yeah, I remember reading that.
It's going to be Riverdale, and I think they're going to say it's going to be like Archie meets Buffy, where like on the surface, everything is like Archie, but there's something else going on like behind the scenes.
Like Pleasantville.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's more appropriate. Yeah.
So, but yeah, so Reggie's going to buy that, and then they have to fight him, and then Jughead is a psychiatrist, and it's just a hot mess. And it was supposed to be like a 30 something type of show.
Okay.
And they were kind of doing this in the '90s. There was like in the late 80s, early 90s, there was like the new Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah.
Which started off as a made for TV movie called Still the Beaver.
Okay.
And then it became a TV show. And then the Disney Channel picked it up.
Who was on it?
The cast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the real Leave It to Beaver cast. They had everybody back.
I feel like there was that weird time where Eddie Haskell like showed back up as an adult.
Yeah, well, Eddie Haskell was on it, and Ken Osmond and his son actually played his son on the show.
Oh, okay.
It actually wasn't a bad show. I mean, it was a Disney Channel show. It was that sort of show.
Yeah.
So Jughead plays a psychiatrist, and he has a son. And, of course, Jughead was never very handy with the ladies, and neither is his son. So he's trying to give his son tips on how to impress the ladies.
Okay.
And then this cringe inducing moment takes place.
All right,
Kevin, if you will,
here it is.
You're shy with girls just like your father.
I'm not.
Are too.
I'm not.
Are. Listen, I've got a plan.
Oh no.
Come here.
Oh man.
Yes, he has a giant boom.
Yeah,
box.
Just...
Sugar. Aw, oh, honey, honey. You are my candy girl. And you got me. Sugar. Aw, oh, honey, honey. You are my candy girl. And you got me right.
I would punch my dad in the face if he did that.
When I kiss you, girl, never knew how sweet a kiss could be. Then you laid your ever-loving stuff on me.
Break it down for me, fella.
I'm gonna make your life so sweet. Rockin' it, movin' it,
that black guy, in the back is like, oh, just, yeah. No. What are you doing, Junkhead?
Say what?
I think doing this in front of a black man might be a hate crime.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's rough.
Candy girl.
And you got me rocking you. Break it down, won't you
please?
I feel like this is Patient Zero where white boy can't dance.
Candy girl.
And you got me rocking you.
Did Junkhead wear the crown?
And yes. And you got me.
Break it down, won't you please?
No one would applaud that.
Nobody would applaud that.
No, they would be arrested and taken away.
They would kick that kid out of school.
I was going to say, they'd probably be calling the police.
Yeah. Yo, give me five, my man.
You a fish,
okay? Oh, you were styling too,
why,
my man.
Why are they talking like this?
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
What's that, Grover?
It's like, what was that happening? Thomas C. Howell movie?
Yeah, Soul Man.
Soul Man.
And what's really bad is like, in the scene, the kid's like, oh, dad. And he gets like two lines into it, and now the kid knows the whole dance, all the words.
That's a thing that happened.
That occurred.
Yeah. That's a weird comic property that is still super popular. Like, they've done a really good job of keeping it current. So there has been like,
Joe, you read comic books.
I do.
Am I correct?
Yes.
Have you ever read an Archie comic other than like a weird, like Archie meets the Punisher kind of a thing? Have you ever just read an Archie comic on a regular basis?
Nope.
Follow-up question. Have you ever known anyone who's read an Archie comic on
a regular Archie comic?
Like, on an ongoing basis, in the same way that week in, week out, you might read Batman or Superman?
No.
How is this property still alive?
I don't... this is what they did.
I worked in a comic book store for... I managed a comic book store.
They...
Not only did we never order an issue of Archie, no one ever came in asking for it.
They have done some interesting things recently.
Sure.
So they did Afterlife with Archie, which is the Walking Dead meets
I mean, they've
Archie.
Always done these like weird... Because, I mean, right. I remember in the 90s, there was Archie versus Punisher.
And now they've done Archie meets the Predator.
Yeah.
They have...
What happens when Archie meets the Predator?
Exactly.
How does...
Yeah.
Does Archie go
turns
like
Arnold
full...
Schwarzenegger?
They did Cherry Pop-Tart.
I don't think they did that one.
That was not them. That was,
it looked very similar.
That was not authorized. Are you guys familiar with Cherry Pop-Tart?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So
there is actually... So they've also done... Life with Archie, which is like they flash forward and they have him marry one of the two of them, and it's like this them as adults,
right?
They killed Archie at one point,
so they do a lot of Elseworld.
They do
Archies.
A bunch of stuff that keeps the property. There's like a Sabrina comic, but it's like a horror comic.
Okay,
instead of it being like, oh, plucky Sabrina,
sure.
She's a...
Ever know anybody to buy him?
The Sabrina the Teenage Witch, when she's a real witch, yes. Not the other version.
Yeah.
Afterlife with Archie is a very popular book. And it's just... But I don't... It's actually... It's really well written. It's a good, it's a really yeah. good comic.
I just, it's just
Jughead
funny
is a gross zombie.
I've never known anyone to buy an Archie book. And so I'm just like, how is this still being published?
They have just rebooted it. They've kind of put it in the 21st century. They had Mark Wade and Fiona Staples on the book for a while, and that was very popular. Jughead got his own comic, and that was semi-popular, and I think that popularity is starting to taper off a little bit, and now we'll see what happens with Riverdale.
Okay.
But yeah, they've been putting out comics for...
No, clearly.
What? Since the 1950s?
Like 40s or 50s, yeah. But I've never known anybody to...
I don't know.
Kevin seems to have discovered something. He has an odd look on his face.
There's an Archie comic featuring Barack Obama and Sarah Palin sharing a milkshake on the cover.
Hey, milkshakes bring people together, Kevin.
Oh, there was an issue of Archie where he went to Blueberry Hill down on...
there was, yeah.
Down on the Del Mar Loop. That's a... For our listeners,
it's a local
from
restaurant.
St. Louis. It's a local restaurant, but yeah, he went to...
Yeah, it's... They, like I said, Archie has... That company, they also... They don't just do Archie comics. That's awful.
There's a Twilight crossover.
Oh, I thought
Archie.
You found Cherry Pop-Tart.
No.
Also, that's not awful. That's hilarious. Like,
and
that's
there's
great.
A Tiny Titans crossover
Tiny
with
Titans is another... Like, that's a... The DC is really smart about that.
Well,
like,
now I'm sold.
There's your Afterlife with Archie. And that's great. That's a good little book. But yeah, it's... I forgot about Archie Meets Kiss.
Archie at Camp Crystal Lake? Oh,
that,
my
god. That's
gosh.
Not real.
It is.
I don't think so. That has to be... That's not the right Archie logo.
Okay, just a parody by... Okay, I was about to say.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's good stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know why it's still popular or not popular, but it's still a thing that's that they've managed to stay alive. You
I've
know?
Never read
Superman.
One issue.
Superman came out in 1938, and Archie, I think, was not far behind.
People still have to buy the comics for them to keep making them.
Yeah,
so.
No,
yeah.
You're
I mean, clearly
right.
somebody is. I just
yeah,
don't know
one guy.
Yeah, I just don't know who. Like, I've never.
I don't know.
That's the part that's always
it's very. It's very interesting.
Well, that TV movie sounds like a real winner, Tom.
Yeah, and it is. I know this will shock you, but it is available on YouTube in its entirety.
What?
Shocking.
It is shocking.
Yeah,
shocking.
So anyway, that is my.
That's a good pull. That was good.
All right.
I did not know that existed.
We will turn to our guests.
Yeah.
So you guys will have to help me on this one because I can't really decide which is worse. So it's either X-Men Origins Wolverine or Catwoman.
Catwoman.
I have to say Catwoman.
Yeah.
Like that,
as
bad
much
as
I hate
Wolverine
didn't
play
Wolverine,
basketball.
But, yeah.
He did tear up a sink, though.
With shaky balls.
Shaky claws.
He didn't play basketball.
He didn't play basketball.
X-Men Origins Wolverine is just too easy. That's just a given, but... People probably don't even know the Catwoman movie exists because
it came and went.
Yeah, like, yeah. Just, you know.
That's a weird one. Like that was, I think that was a Michelle Pfeiffer joint. It was going to be her movie.
Yeah.
And then it just,
oh, that would have been awesome if Michelle Pfeiffer Catwoman had an actual
movie. Like the
but
movie
you couldn't
is
because white cats can't jump.
Yeah.
Duh.
And that basketball
and
scene.
How
so,
could
yeah,
you
yeah,
basketball
yeah,
scene?
Yeah. No, I get it.
But
get
there
it.
Are elements like of Catwoman, of the Michelle Pfeiffer origin in this one, in the Halle Berry version.
No. There's no elements. Her origin is there's some
she
toxic
gets,
waste spills and a cat licks her and she gets her powers.
Yeah, it's almost the exact same. I mean, she falls
no,
out of a window.
Max Shrek
eaten,
pushes her
and she
out
gets
of a
eaten
window.
By cats.
But this
I'm saying there are elements that are like this was.
Oh, okay. There were cats in it. I'm
yeah,
sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I totally take back.
This was a common theme here. Yeah.
This was going to be a Michelle Pfeiffer movie. Like they were going to spin her off.
And then she read the script?
Probably. Or I think like she was attached for a while.
Really?
And it just kind of sat her and it never happened. And this was what, 2005?
This one is, it did come out in 2004. Sorry, 2004.
Okay. So Batman Returns was 92. I'm sure Michelle Pfeiffer was like, no.
Yeah.
You've waited.
Speaking of not fitting into the suit anymore.
I don't know. She might be able to.
Have you seen her? She looked more like she'd be the Joker these
days. Oh, really?
Is that the one that had all the work? Michelle Pfeiffer? No, wait. I'm thinking
of... No, I think Michelle Pfeiffer's one that still looks
yeah,
pretty young.
She
I'm thinking of Meg Ryan.
Meg Ryan, I'll give you.
Meg Ryan looks like she's
yeah.
the Joker.
Michelle Pfeiffer looks...
No, Michelle Pfeiffer looks ridiculous
amazing.
For being 57.
Yeah,
she was in
she
something
is.
Recently, and I'm like... Wait a minute. That's
Michelle Pfeiffer? Yeah, she still
but
looks
you know
good.
What's weird to think about, though, is that Catwoman came out in 2004 and Batman Begins
came out in 05.
Came out in 2005.
How is
which
no
means that Batman Begins had to be in pre-production at least. I mean, it's also weird to think that like these two movies that are like from completely different eras came out within a year of each other.
Yeah, that is weird to even...
I didn't even think about that. That's a very good point. And especially
from
like,
the same, I mean, they're from the same property. You know, like you're talking about characters from the Batman property,
the
same studio, WB, like producing
them. Shows up three movies later. Like Catwoman shows up in the Dark Knight stuff. Like that's true.
Yeah, she is in it. So yeah,
Anne Hathaway,
who was Michelle Pfeiffer was awesome as Cat. I thought Michelle Pfeiffer made a great Catwoman. Anne Hathaway was a little bit better in my opinion.
Hmm.
But yeah, this. There's a weird basketball scene.
So, okay, who has the worst basketball scene? Catwoman or Escape from L.A.?
Catwoman.
Oh,
Escape
Catwoman.
Escape from L.A. gets a pass because it's Kurt Russell.
Right.
Like,
well, Joe's in love with Kurt Russell, so like,
it's Kurt Russell and John Carpenter. Like, you get a pass for that basketball. As awful as that scene is.
What's
hey,
your choice?
Made a sport reference.
Yeah, I know. That's pretty good.
Only because of the Harlem Globetrotters do I know that. I got to go with Catwoman.
Yeah.
Now that Catwoman scene, if you watch it, and I've YouTubed that clip, even like we've talked about it before, if you watch it from beginning to end, the basketball scene, you're just like, who thought that was a good idea?
Like
the editing, the filming, the music. The, like,
well, the
what?
Thing is, if you know anything about the production of film, they had to work on this scene for days,
right?
So they were doing this, going to bed, getting up in the morning, and doing it again, and nobody was like, is this really stupid?
Right.
Because it feels like it's really stupid.
Like, how did
probably the same people behind the bar scene in Spider-Man 3.
Don't. Tom never saw it.
Oh. What?
There's a funny story
that's
behind
a great
that.
Story.
So tell them about
okay,
after.
So
I will say, Spider-Man 3 was an honorable mention.
Yeah. So Spider-Man 3, I saw it, and my friends, I saw a screen, and my friends were like, how was Spider-Man 3? I'm like, it wasn't great, but it was pretty good. And so then my friends went to see it, and they were like, what the hell are you talking about? This movie was awful. And I was just like, what? And then they were like, oh, my God. And then the dance scene, I'm like, dance scene? What are you talking about? And so what had happened was I had to pee during the movie, and so I got up to pee, and I happened to pee during the dance scene, and like – the dance scene, the movie's already like, eh, I'm not sticking up for the movie, right. But the dance scene so colors that movie as awful.
It does.
That there's no coming back from it, and so I had accidentally edited that scene out of the film.
So he left the movie not knowing that existed, like perfectly edited that part out, and then he just was like, it was not
I
that,
came
you know.
Back in, like, right as he's dipping her, and I was like, well, that looks really stupid. And then, but I didn't see the whole thing, so I don't know.
Emo Spider-Man, getting his dance on. That was absolutely going to be one of them, the honorable mentions.
I missed like, that entire segment, and so like I went around thinking Spider-Man 3 for a while. I was like, that's not so bad. I mean, it's too many.
All your
villains.
Friends are like, what?
Yeah,
it's really too bad that's in there because I mean I know that there were too many villains and Topher Grace and like I know that there were other things that affected that
I
movie,
think
but
Topher
like
Grace could have worked. Like
as gigantic bodybuilder Eddie Brock,
but so
what a weird miscast.
You weren't going to get that. Like that, I knew from the get as soon that they weren't going to get like the giant muscle head Eddie Brock.
Who played Sandman?
That would have been a
Thomas
good
Hayden.
Thomas Hayden should have been Eddie Brock.
Yeah,
boom, done. Like look at him.
I don't know. Like I like the I didn't mind Topher Grace as Eddie Brock because he was so like he got the character right. Like the character was a swarmy little, and he was trying to screw over Peter Parker at every chance that he got. So, like, when you see Eric Foreman doing that, I'm like, I could kind of believe that, like, Eric Foreman at, like, 180 degrees could be this guy. But, yes, overall.
But like Tom said, you know, he edited it out, and then his reaction to the movie wasn't as bad. Like, I wish they just didn't include that, because there are parts of that movie I like, and I didn't completely hate it, and I just wish that that dance scene didn't tarnish it, because what is the only thing anyone says about Spider-Man 3?
Emo
the
Spider-Man.
Dance scene. Yeah, yeah, it's just, if that wasn't in there, I think you would get a completely different experience where,
and,
you know.
It wasn't great, but I think I think that it would have eked out a win.
Would have got a pass if
and,
it wasn't
and you
that.
Probably could have got a fourth one out of
do
that.
Do you think, there was going to be one. They had it. It was going to be, it was the Vulture, was going to be the villain. In that one, and then
they wanted like a quick turnaround, and Sam Raimi
was like,
finish they had to turn it around,
or they were going to lose the rights.
And Sam Raimi wanted to do it, and they were all on board, but it's just he couldn't get it done.
Little did they know they were going to lose the rights anyway.
Back to Catwoman.
Why?
I've never seen it. I've seen the basketball scene online, but I've never seen
it. It is awful. Like I think it destroyed Halle Berry's career. Like, she was on a huge uptick. Like, she
was
had
this
just,
before or after Monsters
was
Ball?
After. Like, she had won for Monsters Ball, and then she won the Razzie for this.
Gotcha.
And I don't think she ever
recovered.
This was
after Swordfish, too, wasn't it? Swordfish was, Swordfish, like, 01 or 02.
Yeah, because Swordfish is the first time she shows her cans.
And she gets them out.
But in, like, Monsters Ball, she's getting, like, railed by Billy Bob Thornton. And it's like, I'm almost positive they did have sex on scene on camera. It's
hard to figure out how they didn't.
I don't know how.
That scene.
Like, it is it's a hard scene in more ways than one.
Yeah.
But then I think this came out, and that
he
was
he actually
like,
had it written into the contract that the studio had to pay child support.
Yeah, right.
That's how graphic that scene was.
Her name is Patience Phillips.
I don't remember.
The Catwoman is not Selina Kyle. It's Patience Phillips.
Oh, I thought you were saying that was Halle Berry's real name.
No, her name is Patience Phillips in the movie.
This movie has nothing to do with Batman at all. Like, I don't think they mentioned... No.
I thought there was a connection.
None. Huh. There's no... They don't even think they talk about Gotham. They may mention Gotham, but there's your awful CGI cat.
So, yeah, basically the origin of Catwoman is like she... falls and or she's dumped in some like toxic waste and cats come up and lick her and that's it. And then she has superpowers.
The cool part about, I mean, as bad as this movie is, like Michelle Pfeiffer redefined that character.
Yeah.
Like the Frank Miller version where she was a hooker and then turned thief, but like the super sultry vixen was all because of Michelle Pfeiffer. That was all and that's
like
the way that's the way she's portrayed now. Like that's the way she is now in the books. But ooh, that was a rough. Like I did, I'm almost positive it killed her career. Like she,
yeah,
and she was Storm.
I don't think she's ever really
recovered. She. It's almost like Cuba. Like Cuba was on a huge uptick with Jerry Maguire and Men of Honor.
Yeah,
was it Men of Honor or Men of Valor?
It was Men of Honor.
And then he did like Snow Dogs, and it was like he just kneecapped
himself.
What was
that cruise ship one?
Cruise ship.
Oh my
that
gosh!
Was
yeah.
Boat trip.
Boat
it was
trip.
One where
it
like Horatio Sands, where they were like, weren't they
trip.
Like on a gay cruise?
Yes.
And they had to pretend to be gay or something.
Trip.
And
mm-hmm.
yeah,
hopefully, like, is good. He's awesome on The People versus O.J. Simpson. So hopefully, he gets like that.
He's a good actor. We've seen it, but yeah, it's funny how people make these choices and then all of a sudden it's just they're
Catwoman
gone.
Catwoman is probably in my top five of the worst of the worst.
it is terrible.
It is
awful.
So
absolutely.
Other honorable mentions.
I was going to mention The Spirit.
That is one movie which, again, I don't usually not finish movies.
Yeah.
Turn that off after about 15 minutes.
I bought it on Blu-ray for $3. Just
terrible.
Because like I'm a comic nerd and I was like, it's a comic book movie.
15 minutes in, I was so bored. I just...
Yeah. Then there was The Shadow with Alec
Shadow
Baldwin.
Is good.
Okay.
Shadow's good. No, I like The Shadow. Anyone back me up here?
I haven't. It's been
Alec
years
Baldwin.
Since I've seen
The Shadow. Seen it, so.
I like The Shadow. There's no way. That movie is like... That is a well-made movie. It's dark. It's like gritty, violent. Like
he was
that
almost,
is a cool.
He was supposed to be Batman.
That is a cool movie. I will. Yeah, Bruce. If you look at his character in The Shadow, that's Bruce Wayne right there. When he gets cleaned up after he does his whole, whatever excursion or whatever, and cleans up suit and tie. Yeah, that's Bruce Wayne. But no, I love The Shadow. That's
can't forget Elektra and Daredevil.
Oh, Daredevil gets Daredevil's all right. Like the director's cut isn't as bad. But Elektra's awful. Judge Dredd, starring Sylvester Stallone.
That movie has like a cult status. It's like you want to watch it when you want to turn off your brain. And just
go watch the Carl Urban one.
Yeah, but for the 20 years
movie,
that didn't exist. Yeah,
the Carl Urban one was amazing.
This is right in my wheelhouse. In like early 90s, these movies, Demolition Man, Judge Dredd, those were awesome.
Those
and
are great.
Like they're mindless.
Man's great.
They're deep fried tacos. You know, they're mindless movies. But like. I don't know. Would you call that bad, Tom? Okay, you were older at the time, and like,
they
know.
Were bad.
They were bad.
They were bad.
See, I haven't that nostalgia, that early 90s nostalgia.
I paid $6 to see those movies, and they were bad.
Okay.
And then the last one that rounds up my top five of the worst of all time is League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Ooh, what about David Hasselhoff as Nick Fury?
That one is also, there's also a Generation X one also just as bad.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at Hasselhoff, he looks like Nick Fury. He looks like...
Yeah.
But...
Until he talks.
But didn't they draw Nick Fury to look like Hasselhoff in the comics or something after that?
I mean, look at the... If you look at the 60s Sturango...
So he was just cast.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, because they do look
even
similar.
Even that Nick Fury Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. miniseries, which kind of resurrected the character.
It did.
Oh, Steel with Shaq.
That is also
that
awful.
Was really
yes.
bad. Yes. And if you really want to go old school, a little old-timey reference, Ron Eli as Doc Savage.
Oh, that's
bad. Remember Ron Eli?
No, but I remember
Doc Savage. He was on the Tarzan television show. They used to show it on, like, when you're... kid growing up, he didn't have Cartoon Network when I was a kid. Yeah, to watch TV uphill both ways.
And, without shoes on?
Yeah. And
those were big TVs, too.
They were consoles.
Were they on wheels?
We had a console set.
Yeah,
was it on wheels? I was a rich kid.
Yeah.
And you wanted the console because you could set the VCR right on top of it. You didn't have entertainment centers back then, you pussies.
You stacked it on top of
your goddamn TV like a man.
Well, if you were really rich, you had sled dogs pull it up the hill for you.
TV was a nice wood piece of furniture, just like they used to watch TV on the Frontier.
Did it have a record player in it?
It did, yeah. Well,
it's cool. People are refurbishing those. They take the TV out and they make like really
fish
cool
tanks.
It's pretty neat.
But so on Saturday mornings you got cartoons for about 3 hours, and then but on Sundays, I never understood why nobody showed cartoons on Sundays. You would think, like, as a kid, like, you're home jonesing for cartoons. You would think if one station that showed cartoons, we'd have been all over it. But instead, you got wrestling at the Chase, which was,
all right,
says you.
And then you would get, like, we would get Tarzan. Ron Eli is Tarzan.
That's right.
And he played Doc Savage, the Man of
there
Bronze.
Was also
presumably because he was already bronze.
Right. There was also a really bad upcoming in November. You're going to have a live action Doctor Strange.
Looks so good.
Go back and look at the old.
There was already a Doc Strange.
There was. Yeah, there's a Doctor Strange TV movie.
Yeah.
That was awful.
Yeah.
It was awful.
From like the 70s, right?
Yeah.
Like the same era as like Kolchak.
Well, there was also like Spider-Man TV show.
Yeah.
There is a plethora of bad. Marvel had a really bad run where after like X-Men 2 and Spider-Man 2, where they did the Hulk and they did Daredevil and Elektra
Fantastic Four,
Ghost Rider was in there. Like there's
they did two of those, right?
They did.
There's a sequel to Ghost Rider with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, Spirit of Vengeance and Idris Elba.
Yeah,
I don't know how that.
Jonah Hex. That was the. I'm glad you scrolled through that.
Yeah,
Jonah Hex is probably the worst offender of all time. That's awful. So yeah, there's some.
I was just looking up to see if we missed anything. There's a top 25 article, and I did not do any like show prep or research like to try to figure out what the bad comic book movies were. And number two on their list is Superman 4 Quest for Peace, and number one is Batman and Robin.
Hey!
So that's pretty funny that we ended up with like their number one and two picks.
Yeah, they're out there. Go find them.
Yeah.
Some of them are great and hokey. Others are awful.
Like Judge Dredd, I just, even though it's bad, that's so.
I am the law.
No, you're not.
So
put your helmet back on.
Yeah. So that's it for our bad Superman. Our bad, bad because of Superman. But
wasn't Steel like vying for Superman at one point?
I mean, like Superman? Shaq. I think his name. I mean, he probably said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in the comics, though, Steel was
one of the four.
He was one of the four.
Yeah.
He might show up in Justice League Part One.
Does anyone own the rights to that? Does anyone know about?
Yeah, DC. Absolutely.
DC, so they can still make movies.
Oh, yeah, John Henry, Iron Steel. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything that's in a DC comic book is Warner Brothers property.
Got it.
So anyway, that's it for this week. I guess let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
My name's Justin Staggs. You can find me on Twitter at Writer of Brohan. That's Writer with a Y.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS 21.
I'm Kevin Brackett. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, we are there waiting for you at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers, or you can email us at RealSpoilers@ReviewSTL.com, tweet us at RealSpoilers, or join the League of Show Sharers while you're at our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Just click the little share button, and you can help us out by letting your friends, your like-minded friends, know that there's a podcast you enjoy. So you can also stop by the iTunes, rate and review and subscribe, and all that stuff helps us tremendously. If you haven't done it already, we would greatly appreciate it. And if you have done it, thank you. You should set up a dummy account and do it again.
And Tom, I mean, I don't know about you, but I hate trips to the post office.
I do hate trips to the post office.
Me too. You know, there's this great new service called stamps.com, and I heard that if you put in the promo code REAL, that's REAL with two E's, that you can get a free trial, a free postage meter.
It's funny, just the background on that. Like, so the service that we use that hosts our podcast, they put commercials in front of it, so you might have heard of stamps.com. We actually don't get any of that money.
I'm pretty sure we do if someone signs up for it.
I guess it may be.
It funnels through them.
We might get a nickel. It's like we're whoring out
our server costs.
You know what? Please, somebody that has a business, sign up for the free trial stamps.com. I swear, it's like a good deal if you really do have a business where you ship stuff. They give you a free postage meter. They give you like $10, $20 in postage, and they waive the first month's fee. So try it out, and we just want to be curious if we get like a notable like invoice item, like $5 from stamps.com. It'd be great to know. I know, we can't do it, you know,
because we switched to this company like what, a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
So they keep a running
total. It was April. I think it's been 1 year.
Has it?
Okay, it
so,
April, yeah.
So they keep a running total of when they insert spots and we get a cut, and like when it gets to $100, they'll
100 send us
€100.
Pounds. So
they'll send us a check, and like right now we're at like 70.
Oh, we're
so
creeping.
Close.
We're close.
We're getting there.
We're right there.
The pizza party.
Yeah. Pizza party on us.
And but we need someone to sign up for the stamps.com trial. It's free. Just cancel it before the month's over, and it'd be cool. I mean, it will come in use for your postage, and then we'd actually find out if we get paid.
Yeah. Right.
So anyway,
send us a message if you sign up for it, just so we can track it. You know? Seriously.
So anyway, that's that boy. That really was a shameless plug.
That was
even by our standards. That was remarkably shameless. So I think next week we'll probably be tackling Jungle Book.
Yeah,
looks like the big movie next
awesome.
Week. So that'll be what we'll be doing next week. Don't know who will be here or what, but we do know what we'll be talking about.
We do
about Jungle Book. So thanks for tuning in, and until next time, the CIA helicopter rescues the Condor boat.
Peter,
this is for you.
Double time. Thanks.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
That was all for her?